Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. Yes, I was among the missing last week. I apologize for that. It looks like I'm probably going to be taking this thing bi-weekly. Just so that I can, there's a couple things. First, I've got a lot of shit going on my site that I need to take care of, and a lot of my own personal projects that need my attention, and just a lot of shit that needs to get done. Some of which is for QuickStop, which is not—it's kind of behind the scenes type of stuff, that kind of technical type stuff. But so that takes time as well, and helps out us all, you know. So there's that going on, and I struggle sometimes for what the fuck to talk about on this thing, because really, I mean, it's almost like, well, let's talk about the RIAA again this week, or oh, let's talk about the MPAA and why they suck again this week. I mean, I'm sure that's got to get old. So, you know, for right now, I'm going to take this bi-weekly just so that I can have some time to keep it fresh and some time to work on some other shit that is going on. But let's talk about the box office, which I've stopped doing the box office thing because normally it bores the shit out of me, but something really funny this week. If you haven't seen, at least as far as the weekend estimates go at the time of this recording, James Bond, the new resurgence, the new reimagination, the new remake of Casino Royale, which didn't, you know, in this case, I wouldn't even call it a remake, simply because the original Casino Royale was so not, you know, what you would expect James Bond to be. If you have not seen it, then, I mean, if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But so here we are, restarting James Bond. Basically, James Bond Begins, right? And did $40 million, okay, which is nice. In fact, what I did is I went to Box Office Mojo, which has this great feature. And if you're into, you know, tracking movies or anything just as a hobby, or you need it for business or whatever else, Box Office Mojo, I love this shit. Basically, you can, up to six films, you can put them in this chart, which will compare them, all right, side by side, domestic gross, budget, total gross, second weekend drop, the whole nine. I mean, just an amazing wealth of information, right? You can do it by daily box office, weekend box office, weekly box office. And here's the killer. You know how I've talked about before how these dumbasses will talk about, oh, it's the, you know, 10th highest grossing film of all time, not taking into account that they're not adjusting the dollars for inflation. So that you don't people don't understand that Gone with the Wind is number one with something like $1.2 billion when you adjust it for inflation. So what I did is I went back and I created a little chart here that is the last six James Bond movies. I think I got the last six. So basically you've got Casino Royale, right, the new one. You've got the four Brosnan films, Die Another Day, World Is Not Enough, Tomorrow Never Dies, and GoldenEye. And then the last Dalton film, License to Kill. And that's all I could fit on the screen. That's all it would let me do. And so $40 million, okay, that sounds pretty good to me, honestly, for an opening weekend. Let's think about this. Box office is in the dumps, okay, for all the reasons that we've talked about before, because the box office, going to the cinema, bites ass, right? So there's that. First of all, James Bond is a franchise that creatively, we can say, is as bankrupt as they come. I mean, you know, Star Trek guys, say what you want. All right, but when Pierce Brosnan, you've got Pierce Brosnan as Bond, all right, who is a great Bond for a great movie Bond. Let's put it that way. He's a great movie Bond, and Thomas Crown Affair, which isn't even a Bond movie, is a better Bond movie with Pierce Brosnan in the role of James Bond than your Bond movies, you have a fucking issue right there, okay? You have problems. You know, when your star has to go make a James Bond movie as a pseudonym to make a cool movie, then you got a problem. I mean, when you've got Triple X, which is basically taking your idea and making it hipster Bond, you know, extreme game athlete Bond, and kicking your ass from a creative standpoint, you've got a problem, okay? From a sheer entertainment problem, you've got a problem. So this franchise needs a kick in the nuts, okay? Haven't seen it yet. I'm not about to go see a fucking movie on opening weekend. There's no way in hell. You know, Daniel Craig, a lot of people made a big deal about him. I'm sure he's fine. You know, we never get the Bond that we want, because I wanted Clive Owen. I mean, imagine how badass that would be. So based on the fact that everybody wanted Pierce Brosnan when we got Timothy Dalton, I'm sure that next time we'll get Clive Owen. But anyway, so $40 million is nothing to sneeze at. In fact, if you look at it, as I was going back here for the chart, Die Another Day did 53 in adjusted dollars. It's all in adjusted dollars. World Is Not Enough did 46, but Tomorrow Never Dies did 36. GoldenEye did 39. Shit, License to Kill did 14. So Casino Royale, $40 million, nothing to sneeze at. So why are we talking about it? What is amusing? Well, what's amusing is the fact that James Bond, who is known for walking around in a tux, got beat by a bunch of animated penguins who are permanently in tuxes. That is hilarious to me. Because according to the estimate, Casino Royale did 40 and Happy Feet did about 42. Happy Feet! James Bond got beaten by a movie called Happy Feet! Happy Feet? How the fuck is this possible? In what universe are we living? And you know, no matter how good the movie is, and no matter how well they do at the box office, you have to live with the fact that you got beaten, you know, the longest running franchise, because in this, like, James Bond 21, isn't that right? The longest running franchise in movie history got beat by fucking animated penguins in a movie called Happy Feet. That's hilarious. Holy shit, that's funny. I'm sorry, I amuse myself, if nothing else, but Jesus Christ, that's gotta suck. Oh, whew. So anyway, I thought I would share that with you, because I just feel so bad for them. I mean, you know, how can you hold your head up, you know, in your next Hollywood meeting? How about them Happy Feet? Fuck. So what else did I want to talk to you about? Where is my list? Oh, yeah. So I was talking to, what was it? I was talking to Ken about, Deal or No Deal, right? Which I've actually seen some of, and I understand it's, you know, a mathematician, statistic, probability type person's dream, because you get to basically watch how people act under these circumstances, and how, you know, if you just apply a little logic and stuff to the situation about what's left and you know what your probabilities are, then you could probably win a little bit of dough on the show. But I mean, just like everything else, you've got. I mean, I'm convinced that for these game shows, right, that they actually try to find really dumb people to be on these shows. I mean, what was it? The other day, I was trying to what was that? I was at lunch, and it was one of those deals where they've got the television on. And I'm bad, because if I hardly ever watch television. And part of the problem is, and people are always like, well, you could watch it while you work. It could just be running in the background. And I'm like, I don't do television in the background. If I'm in front of a television, I will inevitably, my eyes will flick over to the television. Next thing I know, 5-10 minutes are gone. Because most of you guys, you're probably immune to the effects of television, the hypnotic effects of the boob tube, right? But my problem is, because I hardly ever watch it. I mean, I haven't watched, I'm trying to think, what was the last show that I watched religiously for an extended period of time? It was probably Law & Order 3 or 4 years ago. And that was like the one show. But the last time that I watched television, you know how you have like 4 or 5 shows that you watch, and then if something's on, you'll watch it, or you'll sit down in front of the television and just watch it. I don't do that. And I'm trying to think, the last time I did that, honestly, was probably sometime in the 80s. I mean, you know, I find all of these shows that, like, for example, the St. Elsewhere box set just came in. And I'm looking at this going, shit, I used to watch this all the time. And then I'm wondering, why? Why did I watch this all the time? Not saying it's a bad show, but I don't remember a shit thing about it. Fuck, I used to watch Dynasty in Dallas. So I was a very strange child. I was a very strange child and teenager. Anyway. So, but I was watching, so where was I? Oh yes, I was in the restaurant having lunch. And you know how they have the television on, and they won't have the sound turned up, but they'll have the subtitles on so that you can watch what's happening. Well, this guy was in there, and it was, the question was, you know, basically, what part of speech has both active and passive forms, right? And he used all three lifelines on this question. And for those who aren't familiar, I mean, I've only seen like 5-10 minutes of the show, but I know that there's three, you basically get three ways of getting a hint, like from the audience, and you call somebody and they take away two of the answers so that you get a better grip on what's going on. So all three lifelines on this, and he still guessed nouns. So I'm convinced that they actually have a way of screening this stuff for to make sure they've got the right amount of idiots on there. Anyway, so Deal or No Deal, basically you're supposed to pick 26 cases and there's a certain dollar amount in there, and you can keep going and going until you finally get a deal from the banker that you want, or you're down to a final case, right? So, but I was thinking, so it's kind of like, I don't know, not exactly riveting television as far as I'm concerned. So my first thought was, first of all, take one of the 26 cases, right? And let's put a gun in the case, okay? So here's the deal. If the case gets opened and the gun is revealed, wherever it is on the set, you know, the stage or the setup or anything, somebody can draw that weapon and fire it, and there's like one shot in it, and they get one shot off, right? So basically, if you're near the gun, you can like you try for it, and or if you're not, you just get the fuck out of the way. And this would include like audience members as well, because, you know, I hate to say it, but it's one thing to be able to watch a show like this on television. I mean, that I can almost understand, because you can get up and like go, you know, get something out of the fridge or whatever you want to do. But to actually seek out and sit in the audience of the show, I mean, it's not like Let's Make a Deal, right, where they could pull you out of the audience. It's not like Price is Right, where you're all potential contestants, as I understand it, right? I think that's right. I haven't seen the introduction to the show. Maybe that's the whole thing, is that you could get pulled down at any moment. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. I have been wrong once or twice before. But, you know, I'm like, why would you sit in the audience for this thing and watch somebody pick in cases? Oh, anyway, so I thought, okay, so throw a gun in, right? And anybody's fair game. So you get one shot off, full immunity, and there you go. And then I thought, let's make it even more interesting. Let's take one of the cases, all right, and put some cocaine in it, all right? So you get to do a line off of one of the dancers or whatever it is that have the cases. You get to do a line off of her stomach, right? And then imagine, you know, you get the cocaine, you're like, and then the gun shows up. So I think that would make it a lot more interesting, a lot more of an exciting show to watch, is to see that happening. Just throw random shit in there, you know? Throw a case that's like full of jam, you know? So you open it and everywhere. And it's just like, what? What jam? Just something random in there. You know, like a rabid wombat, right? So that would be, you know, it would be nice to have the gun handy at that point. So you see what I'm saying? I really think we need to take Deal or No Deal to the next level. Deal? I don't know. Anyway, I'm making half of the shit up off the top of my head. Now, one last thing I want to talk to you about, and then we're going to get the hell out of here. Basically, this is about Arista versus Grubel. This is in Texas, and I'm getting this off the Recording Industry versus the People blog, and I originally saw it through Dig. But basically, he's got two defenses that are really interesting. Basically, he's obviously being sued by the RIAA, by Arista or whoever, and basically saying, first of all, he allegedly, he's not admitting any wrongdoing, he allegedly downloaded music from Kazaa, right? But so what he says is this: the defense alleges that if defendant were liable, Kazaa would be jointly and severally liable along with him. But the problem is that Sharman Networks, okay, which I believe had Kazaa, right, settled with the RIAA, and they settled for $115 million, which was supposed to cover the people who allegedly, traded and shared songs that they shouldn't have. So basically, what he's saying is you're trying to get double, you're trying to get double compensation for your damages. Now that's one thing, but here's the other thing. The other defense is that they're doing $750 per song. He's saying that's unconstitutional. Now, I don't know. I was trying to get in touch with a lawyer that I knew just to ask him what the hell, you know, what part of the Constitution covers that, because I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'm sorry. Forgive me. My civics class was in it. You know, I went to an Alabama State school. Okay. So what can you say about that? I mean, you know, just pity me. So anyway, the recovery should be limited to four times the value of each download. And because they only make about 70 cents off of like an iTunes track, that limits it to $2.80 per track. Now, so here's my take. First of all, I think they both make sense to me. Because if the RIAA has been made whole by the $150 million settlement with Kazaa, right, then they shouldn't be able to go and get wholer, if you know what I mean. Now, Kazaa could turn around and probably try to go after the dude, but that would be kind of silly. So the first one holds water to me. Now, the second one holds even more water because, I mean, you know, why is this? You're only making 99 cents a download off of iTunes, and yet for some strange reason you're saying it's $750. So that's what I don't understand. Now, here's a couple things. A couple things, because what fascinates me are people's inability to look at things on a long-term basis, long-term consequences. Now, let's say that a judge rules that the whole double compensation thing is garbage and the lawsuit should stand. Well, what's the key? Because I think this would establish... Now, again, my entire exposure to the law and legal stuff is watching Law and Order, right? And back in the day, some Night Court, all right? So I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but just go with me for a second here. What if you were able to go back and use that as precedent in some other industry type of case, or any case for that matter, that you were able to say, you know what, this person, for whatever reason, was associated with this, and I haven't gotten any money off of them, so I'm going to go get some money from them too. So think about that for a second. Now, the other thing is, let's say that we all know the second part, right? We all know that the downloads are worth a certain amount of money. This is not a secret or anything. So what if the judge rules that that doesn't work as well? Could you then use that as precedent to be able to say, well, it doesn't matter that the item that got stolen was $10. I need $10,000 worth of compensation for that. And none of this, you know, of course, there's all the psychological hardship and mental anguish and whatever else fees that they knock on top. No, this is just compensation for the thing of mine that was taken. So does that work? Is that possible? I don't know. And like I said, I was trying to reach a lawyer that I know to go, does this sound like something, or, you know, is it Boston Legal type bullshit? And I couldn't reach him in time. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there because we think about, well, let's say even if you agree with the RIAA in this case and say, you know, dude's got, you know, it's got what's coming to him. Then what happens? You know, what if there's precedent established that would enable other people to go after other people in ways that we wouldn't approve of? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. So anyway, that's about all I've got to talk about is Howie Mandel, cocaine and guns, and the RIAA, and Happy Feet. That pretty much. But I talk, you know, it's kind of like sums up every week that we have here on Which Goes Off. So that's it. That's all I want to talk about. I'll probably see you in 2 weeks' time. Have a lovely Thanksgiving. You know, I would appreciate any feedback at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. if you like what you hear here, then first of all, seek treatment. And second of all, we do have other podcasts on Need Coffee, such as Weekend Justice and your weekly Heads Up Info. So come and check those out. We're trying to do some new things to the Need Coffee site as well as here at Quick Stop. So we appreciate your help and your attendance, shall we say. So it only falls to me to thank you, all of my readers, my listeners, whatever. I don't type this anymore. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And to thank, of course, Exit Mind Bomb for their song Godzilla Will Rule You, which is our lovely theme music here. So until next time, I shall simply say, be good.